Muy buenos días a todos los presentes y también los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas.
Good morning to everyone present and also those who are connected to the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8. And also to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin there in Acapulco, Guerrero. In the congregation pastored by the Reverend Abraham Liberato, whose birthday is today. May God bless him greatly. Congratulations. And to all the brethren gathered there, and also to those who are here for the first time, and those who are visiting us as well, a warm welcome. On this occasion, we have the subject, Jesus resurrected, as the scripture said. This message was preached on April 5th, 2015, in Cali, Colombia, and he used the scripture there of 1 Corinthians 15:20-28. And let us read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 27, verse 51 and on, it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and come out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus resurrected, as the scripture said. You may please be seated. He tells us in the book of quotations, on page 110, which is an excerpt from the message, How Can I Overcome? And let us read. We will also have this other place from which he is quoting to us. That is, this excerpt is in the book of quotations. And it says, page 110, paragraph 964 says, Brother Branham reads Matthew 27:51-53 and says, "There is that elected, this is on page 13 of this message, 13 and 14. "There is that elected, that bride. Not all of the Jewish church came forth at that time. All of them made the same sacrifice. All of them was under the shed blood of the Lamb. But there was an elected group. They were in paradise until that time. When that time was made, they had overcome and was resting, sleeping," see? "Now, the rest of Israel don't come forth until the general resurrection." Above there he writes, "The resurrection, only the elect among the Jewish church resurrected with Jesus." The the resurrection, only the elect among the Jewish church resurrected with Jesus. And now, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, those who are really loving His coming, that's living for it, when He appears in the sky and He writes paradise. In other words, in the sixth dimension. Now notice, it says, the church that's dead in Christ shall rise, and those will be changed in a moment. The rest of them will know nothing about it. On the side he writes, heaven equals paradise. Remember, appeared to those in the city. See? The rapture will be like that. We'll see each other, and we'll see them. The rest of the world won't see them. There he draws a Star of David, and he writes, the resurrection, only we will see them. And above he also writes, the world won't see them. In the English book, he also writes there, Daniel rose when the Lord resurrected. All the saints of the Old Testament, which Job said in chapter 19 and in chapter 14, where he said, I know my Redeemer lives. And he also says, then you shall call and I will answer. Job rose as well. Notice here, he also writes, the Lord appears in the air equals the age of the cornerstone. Now, in the message, the eternal cycle, our brother William tells us, which was preached on June 1st, 1980. He says, therefore, number 8 is the number that represents the eternal cycle. We find that there in the Old Testament, pointing to the eternal cycle, when he tells us about the covenant that God gave to Abraham. The male children would have to be presented before the presence of God on the eighth day and be circumcised, because the eighth day speaks of eternity. The eighth day speaks of a covenant where God receives man. We find that even Jesus was represented and circumcised on the eighth day. Also on that eighth day, we find it when a sheaf was waved before the presence of God on the eighth day, because the eighth day is the day that represents the eternal cycle, and the wave sheaf is waved in the eternal cycle. In the message, it is the rising of the sun, on page 12. The Reverend William Branham tells us, on page 12, Brother Branham is reading the scripture of Leviticus 23. And he says, all these things are types now. And we'll stop here for a few moments to get into this type. And there he quotes the scripture. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, unto the place, the position that I have given unto you, now you speak to the children of Israel, that when you get to this certain place that I've promised you, I'll take you. When you get there in this land, Now, speaking natural here, type in the spiritual, and shall reap the harvest thereof. You have received what I told you thereof. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and number 8 at top. 5, 6, 7, and 8 at the top in the cornerstone. And he says, Brother Branham continues saying, if there would be any holy ritual, it should come forth on the Sabbath day, which was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. But did you notice in this memorial to wave it on the first day of the week? The sheaf, which was the first of your seed that you planted. When it comes up and ripened, you cut down the sheaf and take it to the priest, and let him take it and wave it before the Lord for your acceptance, that you are accepted. You have come with your sheaf, and he is to wave it before the Lord on, not on Sabbath, the seventh day, but on the first day, which we call Sunday. S-U-N-D-A-Y. And he writes there, the day of the Son of Man equals the eighth day. In the message proving his word, also there on page 42, he tells us, the works that I do, shall you do. All these other scriptures, what does he do? He's here now proving, not Luther age, not Wesley age, not Pentecostal age, not Baptist age, not Presbyterian age. We've went right down through it and prove it by history in the Bible. But what? The age of the Son of Man being revealed. And he draws a cornerstone to bring these things in to fulfill the word when all must be fulfilled. And he writes, the age of the Son of Man. Notice, it was not in any of the days of the week, nor on Saturday either, but in the age of the Son of Man, where everything was typified, represented in the ages, is then fulfilled in that age of the Son of Man, in that eighth cycle. Brother Branham continues saying, course, Domingo, Sunday, Sunday, of course, that's a Roman word, which they called it the Sunday, for the Son God. But how is it changed? It's not S-U-N anymore. That is Son. It's the S-O-N-D-A-Y, the Sunday. That corn of wheat, God's first one up from the dead, is to be waved over the congregation, that we are his seed. And that's the first of the seed of those that sleep, waved upon the first day of the week. On Sunday, he raised up, waved goodbye, and ascended up on high in the presence of the people. And he draws a cornerstone and he writes Sunday as S-U-N-D-A-Y. And he also writes the sheaf. Notice, it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat. By God's quickening power, God had quickened his life, raised him up from the dead. And he was the first fruits of those that slept. And he writes of the Old Testament, the first fruit. He was that sheaf. That's why they had to wave that sheaf, for it was the first one that come to maturity. And he writes, maturity. And it was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. It was a sign. And he writes, a sign. And today, because he was the first Son of God to come to full maturity, to be in God, he was plunked up from the earth and is waved over the people. Oh, what a glorious lesson. By the quickening power. Now, our brother William continues saying, now remember, back then, he was plunked up and waved over the people so that the Holy Spirit could come. And our brother William goes on to say, we also find that every 6 years, there was the seventh year, a feast day, a day of rest. That's why it was the sabbatical year. And then came 6 more years. And then the year number 7 would again be the sabbatical year or year of rest. Because it was year number 7. And number 7 is the Sabbath. The seventh day represents the seventh year. The seventh day represents the seventh year. And that is how it was for 49 years. And in 49 years, there were 7 sabbatical years. 7 times 7 is 49. And after those 49 years, came the 50th year. And the 50th year then would be the year of Jubilee. Because the 50th year, notice, it fell after the last sabbatical year. After the last 7th year, then came the 8th year, which was also the 50th year. Therefore, it did not belong to those 7 cycles that had already elapsed. It did not belong to that period of time. But the year 50, by also being the 8th year, came to be the year of Jubilee. It came to be the year of Pentecost. Because Pentecost is 50, which was reflected after the 40 days of Jesus appearing. Notice, 10 days after that 50th day, then the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit descended upon 120 people. Therefore, it was no longer the day of Pentecost, but the year of Pentecost, because the year of Pentecost was also represented by the day of Pentecost, which was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. 50 days after the Passover, the 50th day was celebrated, where there was a great feast. That was also pointing to the 50th year. Now, there where we stopped in this message, it is the rising of the sun. On page 12, Brother Branham says, the first one, although he had been typed, and many times, as we'll see later, that he was typed. But this was really the first fruits of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that has promise of life. He was waved at the day of Pentecost, when there came a sound from heaven like a waving mighty rushing wind, and was waved over the people, the Pentecostal people that was up at Pentecost, waiting for the blessing to come, and to be waved again. We realize in the last day, according to Luke 17:30, in the Son day again, in the day that the Son of Man will be revealed, or waved again over the people. And he writes, the sun day equals eighth or first age. And he also writes, the eighth day, Sunday, equals the 50th year of Jubilee, or eighth feast year. This you already have it there, where he draws the pyramid and the ages, and he numbers them up to number 8. And he also writes there, the sun day equals eighth day. He writes that again there. And he writes the last day. Now, who is this Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And if all the teaching that we have, and confirmation of the Word of God, by Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today that in the book of Luke here, that as we just quoted from, or the Luke the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, and Malachi 4 and the different scriptures that we are acquainted with, that word again is waved over the people. That the dead traditions of man is dead, and the Son of God, there he had written the Book of the Seals, page 303 and 173. And we know that on page 303, there that scripture is the coming of the Lord. And the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us, and is giving us life. And he writes, the Son of Man, the waved sheaf. Now, our brother William continues to say, because that same trajectory would be carried out, or God would carry it out in his divine plan, then in the church ages, because then there would be 7 church ages showing 7 Sabbaths, 7 stages of rest, of spiritual rest, of spiritual feast. But after that, after the last time or the last age, the last sabbatical time, after that will come the 8th time or 8th year, or year of Jubilee, where a true Pentecost would be carried out by God, a divine Pentecost, the Pentecost of the year of Jubilee, the Pentecost that is promised for after the 7 church ages. 7 church ages, 7 times 7 equals 49. After the 49th starts the year of Jubilee. And when the year of Jubilee begins, we find that in that year of Jubilee began on the 7th month, on the 10th day of the 7th month. And that 10th day of the 7th month was the day when the atonement was carried out. It was the same day of atonement. In October, that is, around April, is when, let us see, it would be April, May, or in between March and April, May, June, July, August, September, October, depending on when it falls, which also is that new year around there. Now, notice what our brother Branham keeps saying here. We are reading here in this message so that you may see more clearly this about the 50th year of Jubilee, where in his first coming he was waived, which will happen in his second coming. Now notice, he continues to say, it is in the rising of the sun, that's the message, I'm on page 13, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets, and so forth. although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. And there he writes of the Old Testament. In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a shift wave again in the last days. Oh my. Waving of the shift. What was the shift? The first one that come to maturity. The first one that proved it was a wheat. That proved it was a shift. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the people. And the first time there will come forth for the bright age. Then he writes, 8th day. For a resurrection out of dark denominationalism will be a message that the full maturity of the word has returned back again in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. And he writes, resurrection, and he also writes here, the age of the bride, resurrection, and a pyramid and the ages. And he also writes, 8th day. And also in a Bible study, there on the side he wrote, the shift, the seventh seal. In other words, the seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, is that shift that would be waved again over the people. Now notice, our brother William continues saying, a little further along in the same message, he says, let us finish here where we stop there in the It is the Rising of the Sun on page 14. To finish that part there. Because I live, ye live also. Speaking to his wife. Because I live, ye live also. What a resurrection that was. And what a resurrection this is. To be quickened from the dead. To be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. He was waved to them. The word which he was waved back to them on the day of Pentecost. The word made manifest. Now, and it's, I say, it's to be waved again in the last day. And he writes, waved 2 times back then and 2 times here or now. And he also writes, a wave shift today, and an arrow toward the cornerstone and the ages. And there he writes, the second coming of Christ, waved again today, last day. Now, our brother William goes on to say, any person who goes into that eternal cycle and remains in it without breaking it or without coming out of it, that happened to Moses, who broke back then the type and figure. He says, he broke the program of the Bible by striking the rock which God told him to speak to it. That is, he stepped out of the divine order. Any person who goes into that eternal cycle and remain in it without breaking it or without coming out of it has entered into eternity. And those who smite the rock and go out, notice, they go out of the divine program, out of the divine cycle. Therefore, the teaching of the word that they will receive will be an eternal teaching. The things that are or which are established there are eternal things. That is why in the book of quotations, on page 105, which is where he says, from paragraph 910, I think many times, if someone could just bounce into it at once and wouldn't understand it, or would understand it rather, and come into it at once, it would almost send you to eternity, just with such a rapturing thing, and never known it, and just or break through the things that we have seen and know and understand. And there he writes, into the rapture and eternity. And he draws a pyramid there. If someone entered the message, would be sent to the rapture and into eternity. He wrote that there. Now, to enter into that cycle, it says, he has entered into eternity. Now, to enter into that cycle, notice, to enter into this age of the cornerstone, to enter into the cycle where it was being fulfilled back then in the first coming of the Lord, which was a time of cornerstone, because the cornerstone was there. It was Christ. Christ is the stone that the builders rejected. Notice, it is always Christ, the Anointed One. Now, he goes on to say, that is why the eternal name of God is manifested in the eternal cycle. That is why we find that the Lord manifests as the mighty angel also, as the messenger to Israel. Where? He manifests himself in the eternal cycle, in the age of the cornerstone, in the year of Jubilee. Because by it being the eternal cycle, and him being an eternal messenger, he must then take his rightful place in the message. God's chosen place of worship on page 15. It tells us, my friends, I don't want to hurt feelings, but I am responsible for a message. And that message is, come out of this mess. And if I ask you to come out, where am I going to take you to? Would I take you to Branham's Tabernacle? It's as much fault as any of the rest of them. But there is one place I can take you to, where you are safe and protected from death. That's in Jesus Christ, God's place of worship. That's the place I'm introducing you tonight, where God put His name, and He draws a cornerstone in the ages, where He promised He would meet every person that come in there. He would worship with Him and feast with Him. That's in Christ, not in no church, no tabernacle, but in Christ. He is God's tabernacle. And he writes, God's tabernacle. He is the place that God come into himself and dwelt in him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. There is where God tabernacled, brought his name and placed it upon Jesus Christ. Therefore, his name was put in a man, his Son, Jesus Christ, in which he tabernacled himself. and in that tabernacle, where in a type the old Jerusalem, the old feast, the old temple was a type. When the smoke come in, the day that the ark went in of the covenant and settled down, and the voice of God was heard from it. So did the voice of God be heard, coming into the tabernacle, Jesus Christ, which the old natural was a type and shadow of the new. And when he come into Christ, he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in, and I'll choose the place where I'll put my name and where I will meet men and where I will worship at." God chose the place, not in no church denomination, but in Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. He must also be without a blemish. As I said, no denominations can claim that. They do. They're Antichrist. Now we find out here, notice his shadow again. The lamb is to be kept up. Now, this is found in Exodus 12. If you're marking it down, Exodus 12, 3-6. The lamb must be kept up for 4 days to be tried, to see if it's worthy to go to the sacrifice yet. Must be took, examined over and over for 4 days, to see if there is a blemish on it, see if there is any sickness in it, see if there is anything wrong with the lamb. It must be kept up 4 days. Remember the message, the restoration of the bride tree, which is the time, notice, there Brother Abraham spoke about the time of Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, the Pentecostals there in that seventh, and the age of the Word. Notice, there we have the 4 stages of the restoration of the bride tree. Now notice, some of you might have thought that was a little bit kill on the 14th, but you remember they took the lamb on the 10th day of the month and killed it on the 14th day of the month. See, which was kept up for 4 days. And below he writes, 1, Luther, 2, Wesley, 3, Pentecostals, 4, the Word. Now Jesus, God's name, Lamb, went into Jerusalem and never come out again until after his death. Burial and resurrection. He was kept up on the critics for 4 days and 4 nights. He was under criticism. Notice how perfect that lamb was typed. Kept up for 4 days. That's when Pilate said, "I can find no fault in him." Another shadow of him. No bone could be broken in him, which was perfectly, when they couldn't. In killing the sacrifice, they couldn't break a bone. If it was, it was refused. And they already drawed the hammer back to break the bones in the legs of Christ, when they said, "He's already dead." That is, they were just about to break his bones. But when they looked, he was already dead. They pierced his side and found blood and water. Notice again another great thing here. I wouldn't skip it by, because he was represented in the offering, the meal offering. I remember one time they had a school in the Bible called the School of the Prophets. And it was quite a school. And we find out that Elijah went up there to that school one day, and they said, they prayed him to leave, said, "When you're around here, things are too straight." So they wanted him to get away. And they went out to get him a dinner. A bunch of the priests went out, or prophets, to get some peas to make a dinner for him. And when they did, they gathered a great big apron full of them. And when they come back, it was wild gourds, which was poison. And they threw them into the pot, and the pot began to boil. And somebody said, "Alas, there is death in the pot. Now we can't even eat." And Elijah said, and he writes above Elisha, "Bring me a handful of meal." And he writes the word. And he took the meal and threw it into the pot and said, "Eat. The pot is healed." The meal offering was Christ. Every bearer had to be set the same, and every little piece of meal had to be ground the same for the meal offering, showing that He is the healer. He substitutes and takes away death and puts life by the two laws. Hallelujah. And he draws a Star of David and he writes, the two laws. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And where there was death, there became life, because that Christ was brought in the meal offering. What a great lesson that these things would be if we take time to break them out. Now notice, not one word of the shadow fail. Not one word ever failed of the shadow. Everything typed perfectly. He is God's chosen place of worship. Now notice when he says that not one word ever failed of the shadow. That is, of what was a shadow, of what that shadow was represented. Even of the types and figures, when it was fulfilled, it was exactly fulfilled as the shadow or type and figure was showing. He is God's chosen place of worship, and God's name is given to him. He is God's place of worship, and God's name is given to him. He is the Word of God, and he is the name of God. He is both of the Word of God and the name of God. He was the Word made flesh. He was the Word of God, Lamb of God, name of God, and was God. That's what he was, the chosen and only place of worship to God. And God refuses any other place besides in Jesus Christ. You cannot worship him anywhere. And he writes there the name. Now, our brother William continues to say here, he could not manifest himself in that way during the past ages because they were temporary. And then, since those past ages were temporary, then an eternal messenger could not appear with an eternal message, with the eternal name of God. Otherwise, the age would be over, and the name and everything brought for that age would also be left up in the air, because it would be in a temporary age. In the message, God's only provided place of worship, on page 28, it says, page 28, it says, "But we must find where he did put his name, for in it is his only provided gate." Then he writes, the door, Revelation 4:1. Amen. Glory. Watch. Where did he put his name? In his son. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Branham. That was the son, not the father. The son always takes the name of his father in every case. I come to this earth in the name of Branham, because my father's name was Branham. Jesus said, I come in my father's name, and you receive me not. And there he writes, every son comes in his father's name. You want the scripture on that? John 5:43, see? I came in my father's name, and you received me not. Then the father has put his own name, which is Jesus, in the son. And he's the way, he's the door, he's the house, He's where God chose to put His name. God never put His name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, but He put it in Christ, the anointed Emmanuel. And the name is in the Word, because He is the Word. Amen. What is He then? The Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. No wonder, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, who I am. That was in Peter's case. And upon this rock I'll build My place of worship, and the gates of hell can't shake it down. There he writes, who is the Son of Man today? With a question mark. Now, our brother William continues saying, we have the example of Lazarus. Lazarus died twice. Lazarus died and was resurrected by the Lord. But then he died again. Because even though Jesus was in the eternal cycle, Lazarus was not in the eternal cycle. Did you see? On one occasion we spoke about this matter of Lazarus. Now, why did Lazarus have to die again? Even though the one who was in that eternal cycle was there. Now notice that Lazarus resurrects. And if he didn't resurrect, he would have belonged to those of the Old Testament. And he would resurrected with the saints of the Old Testament when Jesus resurrected. Now notice how Lazarus then came to be a member of the church back then in the day of the apostles. But later he died. We find that later on, when Jesus died and rose, Jesus died and rose in the eternal cycle. By Him dying and resurrecting, by being in the eternal cycle, He had to rise. Because He could not remain dead. Because He was living in eternity. He had not stepped out of the eternal cycle. That is why then, by Him living in the eternal cycle, He could go to the places He went to. He went to the fifth dimension, to hell, and preached the word there. And He showed those who were there that they were there and they deserved to be in that place. Those who were disobedient in the days of Noah. Then He went to paradise. And in paradise, He brought a message of victory. He brought a message of peace, a message of hope to all those who were there. All those who were there died outside the eternal cycle. That is why none of them could rise to bring the rest to a resurrection, because they had died outside of the eternal cycle. That is why none of the seven angel messengers, when they departed, none of them were able to go there and bring them, because they were not in that eternal cycle. He had to be a messenger who arrived there belonging to that eternal cycle. In other words, the cornerstone had to arrive there. And then, notice our brother Branham, even though he went on a visit there many times, he wasn't able to bring them either. And then, later when he died and God took him after the accident, and he stopped breathing, and he departed. Still many continue waiting to see if he would return. But he wasn't in that eternal cycle either, and he could not bring them back. And Notice, before he thought that since he had the ministry of Elijah, he could go to Israel and convert the Hebrew people and seal the 144,000. He tried. He thought it was him. But God there opened his understanding and told him that that had to be according to Revelation 11. Because God's messengers don't know everything right then. But rather, God shows them the divine program little by little. Then God gave him the revelation back then that there was a fifth ministry and that it had to be according to Revelation 11 and he had to come with Moses. In other words, the two olive trees. Therefore, he could have spoken of many promises. And it seemed that they were being fulfilled in him. But rather, it was a reflection. Like when he spoke and said that he had already taken the book and he was already as judge, that there was no more intercession. Brother Branham, so there is no more mercy? No, that lays in the future. He's still there making intercession. And it also happened with our brother William. Notice, God was opening his understanding. In other words, he was revealing to him all of that. And you can see that when his time to leave was approaching, then he begins to show about that other one. And you say, but he said before that there would be no one else. Of course there won't be anyone else. Because after that last one, who would be in that eternal cycle, there will be no one else. That is why he said, after the tenth vision and the fulfillment of the tenth vision, from there to the marriage supper of the Lamb, there is no one else then. So he was also showing, typifying, that after him, no one else would come after the one who would be in that eternal cycle of the age of the cornerstone. Because all the messengers are representing, notice, those of the Old Testament, they were showing that one. And the one who spoke of him the most, even though it was like a short verse, was the Archangel Gabriel. What he said to Mary, that contained everything that would be the fulfillment of that cornerstone. Now, notice that none of them, after Jesus, none of the messengers resurrected on the third day. Now, our brother William goes on to say, but when Jesus came, by Jesus being in the eternal cycle, then he could speak to them about the resurrection. He could say to them, that is when Jesus arrived there, to paradise, he could say to them, let's leave this place now. And that is how it happened. He waited. He waited. Notice, he waited for the coming of the day that represented the eternal cycle. He could say to all of them, soon we are going to leave this place. All we have to do is to wait for the day that represents the eternal cycle come. And when it comes, then we will rise. In other words, he was waiting there for that Sunday, which represented that eighth day, that victory day, when he brought them. He indeed brought them, and there will be another one who will also bring them. He will also pass through paradise, the sixth dimension, and bring them. Now, that is what our brother Branham said or narrated in the Book of the Seals. on page 378. Where he is speaking there on page 378. But to later, you can read that whole story. But notice, on 378, it says, I thought, oh my, and I was afraid of this. Why, these people are real. They wasn't going anywhere. They wasn't tired being there. And I said, well, why can't I see Jesus? Said, well, now he will come someday. And he writes, from the seventh dimension to the sixth dimension. And he'll come to you first. And then you'll be judged, said. These people are your converts that you have led. And there he writes, the voice. In other words, that voice which spoke to him. On this one he writes, judgment, judged. And in this one which is unedited, this book of the seals, there is a part where he wrote there, referring to that page, of that voice. Notice he writes there, the one speaking to him identifies himself as one of them. Now, he continues saying, and I said, you mean by being a leader that he'll judge me? Said, yes. And I said, does every leader have to be judged like that? Said, yes. I said, what about Paul? He said, he'll have to be judged with his. And in this one, he writes, judged. He also writes, judgment begins at the house of God. Well, I said, if his group goes in, so will mine. Because I preach exactly the same word. That's it. I said, where he baptized in Jesus' name, I did too. I preached. And millions scream out all at once, said, we're resting on that. And I thought, my, if I had only known this before I come here, I would make people come here. They can't afford to miss this. Why, looky here, and then. And he said, now, someday he'll come. And he writes here, Revelation 11, 3-9. Someday he'll come. And what does Revelation 11, verse 3-9 tells us? The ministries of Moses and Elijah, which we see there, that the beast, he says that, at the end of their ministry, kills them. They are waiting for that person. Here he writes, in this other one he writes, the coming of Christ to paradise, to the sixth dimension, as it was with the saints of the Old Testament, of which he spoke to us about on page 440. He spoke to us about that, where he tells us, for we realize we have just a short time and the church might go at any time. The Lamb might at any time leave the sanctuary up there on the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice lays, and then it's over. There is no more hopes for the world. She is finished. Then she goes into fluctuations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. See? As Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Now, our brother Branham continues to say there on page 382, and he said, now someday he'll come. Now, in here, we neither eat, drink, or sleep. We're just all one. Well, isn't that perfect? It's beyond perfect. It's not sublime. It's beyond sublime. There is no name can, you can't think. There ain't no words in the vocabulary to say it. You've just arrived, that's all. And I thought, well, this would be perfect. And then, what are we going to do next? And he writes, in the seventh dimension. And here he writes, seventh dimension with the eternal body. Now, this would be perfect. And he writes, sixth dimension. And then, what are we going to do next? And he writes, seventh dimension and below with the eternal body. Page 382, he says, said, when Jesus comes and he judges you or for your ministry, then we go back to earth and take up bodies. And there he writes, the resurrection and its order. In other words, there is an order of which in the book of quotations, he tells us on page 12, paragraph 96, now, it is written between the lines lot of time. When we get our big tent up out here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing, how it moves in there. And he writes, in the tent equals the resurrection. Now, all of that is what we are seeing being fulfilled in this place. Because before, it was spoken about building a tent. Brother Branham said, I long to set up a place because it is according to the vision. And of the things that Brother Branham prophesied, that had not taken place yet. He says, there is only one thing that I know that hasn't happened yet, and it is, that is in the book of quotations, and it is in that tent where I have to be praying for the sick. It is in the book of quotations. Let us read it, if you have it there. That is something that hasn't happened yet. As far as I know, he said. Quotations 120, let us see. Paragraph 1068. Now, that great gift, others have tried to explain and say how it was done. This can't be explained. Just wait. It will not be in operation so perfectly now. Wait till that council of churches bring on that persecution. That's when it will happen. That's the reason I come back among you to pray for the sick. I have never had but one thing that he ever told me in my life that I know that hasn't happened yet. That same sort of building or a tent where there will be a little building setting, and I have to go into that and pray for the sick. That hasn't happened yet as far as I know. That's the only thing that I know. There he writes, Elijah prays for the sick again. The tent and the little room. And he also writes, what is left equals the tent. Above he had written, the tent equals is what has not been fulfilled. He also writes there, the persecution and the third pool. Because everything is in a progressive way. Now, the most important thing that God is carrying out is this time in which we are living, which we are making the most out of it. What we are seeing is the order of that resurrection. What we are feeling with our own eyes is the order of our transformation. What we are touching with our eyes is the order of the rapture. Because everything begins in a progressive way. But the greatest and most glorious part is this one. The greatest miracle is this one. That God is bringing us that teaching which was promised that He would make known and give the people the rapture in faith. That is the greatest miracle. Because a person can be healed. And then from an illness, and they can later die. Notice it happened to Lazarus. But someone who is spiritually healed, and God opens his understanding, the scripture to him, that is divine healing. That is spiritual healing. And he transformed him from the inside out. Which healing is greater? To open the eyes of a blind who is literally blind, or to open the eyes of someone who is spiritually blind? In other words, the miracle that God is performing today, in this present time, right now in front of us, it's the miracle that many have not realized, but the elect have, because I am a miracle of you, Lord. You're already healing me. The world doesn't realize it. Perhaps we go into a bakery or a supermarket and they can see a normal person. But on the inside, God is doing something with you. And we go into another place and nobody notices. But you know what you have and what God is doing in you. Excuse me. And notice. That is the greatest miracle that God is performing in the fulfillment of what He promised in this place. We no longer speak about the tent that will be built, in the tent where we will see God's work. Hey, when we build the tent, they say that the thunders will be heard there. Hey, when we are in the tent, at some point, certain things will be seen. And the time will come when we will see people being healed physically as well. Now we can say, we are already in that tent. We're already in that place. And those in Latin America and the Caribbean and the whole world can say, and we are already seeing what the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that manifestation there, of that mighty archangel bringing us the good tidings, said to us, have screams, have good sound, for when that time comes. And now they will be able to say, we are already at that time. Thank God that I followed the advice of our brother William, and I have my screen, I have my sound, and I am listening and preparing myself to receive that great visit from the sixth dimension. See? things are fulfilled in such a simple way that he says that 9 out of 10 cases, it has been fulfilled. Where is that in the Book of the Seals? Page 19, where Brother Branham says, many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the Old Testament many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he is doing. See? See? That's the way they miss it. They look back and see the great thing he done. But they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See? And they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them. And it's so simple that they don't know it. In other words, God is fulfilling things at this time, and many do not realize it. However, we can say those words that Jesus said back then in Matthew, is it? Where he says, I thank thee, O Heavenly Father. Let's look it up. Chapter 11 of Matthew. Verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now notice, it's the same thing that happened 2,000 years ago. The revelation of who the Son of God was, the revelation of who was that man who would be coming into that divine cycle, because that cornerstone was there. Now, it continues saying here where we stopped on page 378 in the Book of the Seals. Said, then when Jesus comes and he judges you or for your ministry, then we go back to earth and take up bodies. Well, I never thought about it then. That's exactly the scripture. Said, then we go back to earth and take up bodies. Then we eat. We don't eat here, neither do we sleep. Said, we eat down there, but we go back to the earth. We could say, they're coming hungry. But in that body, if you don't have to eat, you don't eat. But he says, we will eat. Remember that when you have that fellowship, you go to a home, or you go, and you have fellowship like that with people, there's always food. And there is where, most of the time, you end up bursting in laughter. There is a saying that says, full belly, happy heart. In other words, those will be days of happiness, of rejoicing, as we read there. Because those who went to rest for a few days will come back to be with us again. They will come back again. Like when they go on a trip and you say goodbye to them, but you know that they are in a certain place and they will return again. they have a return ticket. And as for us, do you know something? We are receiving the title deed. Because the title was in the hands of God while He was making intercession there. And at this end time, we have been shown with the knowledge that God has given us of everything that was brought, that whole foundation we are having there. And when we look at it, well, my relative so-and-so or so-and-so, well, they have a return ticket. They are here. I can see them now. They're not lost. They are waiting there. They will return. In other words, we have the evidence that they will return. They will be with us again. When you see those young men over there, hey, who are those young men? Their way they talk, they laugh. Notice, in your mind, you can start, it's got a name in English. It's like a mental picture it would be. And then one can go, that is God working in your mind and in mine as well, of how it will be. And remember when He said in Monterrey, He sent me to prepare a picture of Him. And in, I think we put that message here. And I projected it to the screen. After He finished talking about that picture, I took it down and He told me, leave it, you can leave it. And He said, that's how you are going to see me. In other words, young. There, He was already saying that He was leaving. But that when He returns, He will return like that, young. Therefore, it will also be like that with your family members, with your father, your mother, your siblings. Even a child or a baby that is gone will come back young. Now, notice, Brother Branham did not recognize when Sharon, because he stopped seeing her when she was 2 years old, and he could not imagine how she was, like as a young woman. Daddy, and he said to her, who are you? I am Sharon. See? Even the children, babies, if they die, if they depart, they go to that place. And then when they will return in that young body. Now, look at this great mystery that is being opened at this end time. What it means to go into that eternal cycle. Look, I thought, my, isn't this wonderful? Oh my. And I was afraid of it. Why was I afraid of dying to come to this? Well, this is perfection plus perfection plus perfection. Oh, this is wonderful. See, we was right under the altar, see? That was it. See, right under the altar, waiting for the coming, see? For Him to go get the ones that was sleeping in the bodies, sleeping in the dust, to raise us again. Come by, raise us up. Like Jesus come through paradise and brought up Abraham, Isaac, and all of them, you know, was waiting the first resurrection. They entered into the city and appeared to many. It's perfectly scriptural. The vision was that, or whatever it was perfectly scriptural. Now, in this message, or in this book of the ages. Here also, in the book of the seals, he also tells us there that they are waiting for his coming. A part here on 381 of an answer to a question, he says. He's riding on a white horse, and all the saints with him are riding on horses, right? Absolutely, yes indeed. And up in that same place, there was one looked like an eagle, and one looked like an ox. And, well, my, where is them horses that come to God Elijah? Just goes on to show, you see, the human mind just wants something to pick on. That's right. There is where he writes, the human mind just wants something to pick on. Now notice, but I was thinking, as this precious, godly brother, John, I just thought it would be a good place to inject that, just before closing. If John looked over there, and them was of his brethren, see, his brethren that had to suffer a little, then see, the Lord God permitted me to see my brethren and the saints that were waiting for the coming of the Lord. And there he draws a Star of David, and he writes, in the sixth dimension, they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. And in the book of the ages, on page 209, which would be 228 in the book in Spanish. There he also wrote, on page 209, which is 228 in Spanish. He said, no, they, because he was speaking, he speaks here of what we already read, perhaps with some little details. Like, for example, this 90-year-old woman, he said, no, they are your converts. He then pointed to one lady and said, see that young lady that you were admiring a moment ago? She was 90 years old when you won her to the Lord. And I said, oh my. And to think this is what I was afraid of, the man said. We are resting here while waiting for the coming of the Lord. And there he also writes, Revelation 11, 3-12. And he also writes, paradise, the sixth dimension, they are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now, if they are waiting for the coming of the Lord, it is because, in other words, if the resurrection has not taken place yet, it's because the one in whom the coming of the Lord would be fulfilled has not arrived yet. See? Because if it were one of the messengers of the ages, the resurrection would have happened a long time ago. He goes on to say, now, I am reading from, continuing here in the message that I'm reading from the Eternal Cycle. He goes on to say, we find that when Sunday came along, the eighth day, which represents the Eternal Cycle, then on that eighth day, the Scripture tells us that Jesus rose up, Jesus resurrected, and along with him, all those who had rested, all those who had died believing in the Lamb, they had sacrificed. Then when the Lamb of God was with them, then they resurrected with Him. And the Scripture says that they appeared in the city to many people. So, they went into the Eternal Cycle with that messenger of the Eternal Cycle, even those who have died. because they were waiting for that eternal cycle to come. But there was one who had that eternal cycle, and he was living in that eternal cycle, and it was his cycle. Therefore, he went with that cycle, and when he arrived, the eternal cycle came with the Lord. And when they went into that eternal cycle, then there had to be a resurrection. Why? Because the eternal cycle had come for it to be manifested. And the resurrection and life was there. Therefore, the resurrection had to take place. The eternal cycle is something very important in the plan of God. In that eternal cycle, when it's manifested here on earth, it establishes the things that will come to pass or will be throughout the trajectory of those who go into that cycle. We find that this is how it is, and it can't be in any other way. Mankind ignores the divine laws. Mankind ignores that there is a time and an hour for all things. Mankind ignores that God has His laws. God has all this established in such a way that no one can break it. And we have to understand that God is the one who directs His whole plan, and that His children, what they only do is to see God's plan when God manifested for the time in which His children are living. And when God manifested and opens the heart and the mind of His children so that they may understand, then it is a very great and sublime moment for all the children of God, which happened back then when the seventh seal was open. Notice, he says on page 554, he says, and even when they walked in or coming to the temple, the post of the temple moved with their presence, and these holy seraphims hushed up. Angels quit singing. Flying in the presence of God, singing, holy, 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 they shut up. No angels singing, no praises, no altar service, no nothing. There was silence, hush, deadly silence in heaven for a half an hour. All the host of heaven was silent for this half an hour when this seventh seal mystery in the book of redemption was broke open. Think of it. But it's broke. The Lamb breaks it. You know what? They were awed by it, I believe. They didn't know there it was. They just stopped. Notice how the elect of God, for them, it is a very great, very sublime moment. The moment where God opens their understanding, opens their heart, when that seventh seal has been opened. Notice that silence in heaven for a space of half an hour. He also writes there, reverential fear. Then he writes, silence for half an hour. When that seventh seal was open. Now, on page 121 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1073, it says, in this excerpt, he is already at the end of this message, because the prayer line was already there. And he says, you're a total stranger. Now, if I went and put hands on you and said, sister, you're going to get well, you could believe that, and that would be all right. But now, what if he comes? See, That was the days gone by, back in the Pentecostal days. We're living ahead of that now. We are beyond Pentecost, the same as we are Methodist and Lutheran. We're way on up to the coming of the Lord, where the ministry that Jesus Christ exercised himself has to be exactly like the headstone on the pyramid. Has to be so honed till every stone fits perfectly. He draws a cornerstone and the age is there. And the church has got to get in that condition to receive the headstone. Then take the whole thing in the resurrection when the body is raised up. Notice where the people have to get to. And in what condition they have to be. What for? To receive that headstone. Then take the whole thing in the resurrection. And there he writes, the cornerstone and his coming and the resurrection. And Brother William continues to say, and it was in the eternal cycle that the son of Abraham appeared by faith. It was also in that way in the types and figures. And we find that the coming of the son of Abraham by faith, the coming of the Lord for the final days, the second coming of the Lord, must fall exactly in the same cycle in which the birth of Isaac fell, and in which the first coming of the Messiah also fell. So, he must appear in God's eternal cycle. He must appear in the year of Jubilee, in the age of the cornerstone, in the eighth day, because number eight represents eternity. And if there is an eighth age, that speaks of an eternal age, which has nothing to do with the days or ages that had already elapsed, those past ages. Each one was simply pointing to or typifying some portion of the things that would be in the eternal age. And the messengers of each past age were typifying the messenger of the eternal age. Each one typified and pointed and was manifested in him. And God reflected in him some of the things that would be in the messenger of the eternal age. Just like when Philip asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? Because he said, but wait a minute, is he talking here about himself or about someone else? Because it was implied that Isaiah was speaking of himself. But notice, the prophets were reflecting, typifying what that messenger would be, who in his first coming would enter into that eternal cycle so that the resurrection could take place. Now, in the message, in this message, the unveiling of God, on page 55, it says, how many sees him standing, the mighty conqueror? The Word made flesh, unveiled before us, the Alpha, the Omega, he that was, which is, and shall come, the root and the offspring of David, was the Son of Man, the Son of God, Son of Man, and will be the Son of David? Do you believe it with all your heart? Unveiling himself in each age, brought to the believer, veiling himself in human flesh from the unbelievers. He is hid behind a veil. May God break every veil, and we see him as he is. And he writes, face to face. Now, he continues to say, Therefore, seeing through the Word of God that there is a time predestinated by God for everything, and that there is a specific cycle for the coming of the Lord, then we can understand what the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord said. When he was to speak about the seventh seal, he said that the seventh seal was the second coming of the Lord, and that that was what the Lord said in his first coming, that not even the angels of heaven knew when it would take place, that only God knew the secret of the day and the hour, and of how the second coming of the Lord would be fulfilled. Therefore, when he was to speak about the seventh seal, he said, "It's not time for that yet." He says there in a part of the Book of the Seals, he tells us on page 574, it says, see, Israel gathering in its own homeland. But you notice, he omitted the revelation of this seventh seal. And there when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. See? So we see that it is a complete mystery. Therefore, the hour is not yet for the mystery to be known. Therefore, we're this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for his bride, or whatever takes place at that time. And he writes there, Revelation 19, and he writes, in his angel. In other words, it is the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, in that last veil of flesh. Now, unto that time, let's just all pray. Live good, straight Christian lives, looking forward for His coming. And now, if this tape would happen to fall into the hand of some person somewhere, don't try to make any kind of an ism out of it. The only thing you do, you just continue serving God, because this great secret is so great that God wouldn't even let John write it. It thundered out, but knowing that, promising us that it would be open, but to this time, it isn't open. And he continues to say here in this message, the eternal cycle, of which we spoke a little bit about these last days, where he says, and when only one person can understand the burden and ministry that God has placed on his shoulders and the importance that there is in the divine program of that work he is going to carry out, and to know that if he doesn't carry it out, then all will be lost. Now remember that the same thing happened in the time of Jesus. He knew that that sacrifice had to be carried out. And he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, now notice, that sacrifice had to be carried out. Now, Brother William says, here he is referring to this end time. And to know that if he doesn't carry it out, then all will be lost, and that no one else can understand it that way. Wasn't John weeping? John said, if no one worthy to take the book comes forth, everything will be lost. He says, and that no one else can understand it that way, he says, and then, and that on different occasions they will misjudge him. That person is truly alone on earth. He is alone on earth. And he had such difficult moments that he cannot share them with anyone. Because if the other person, he says, who does not have the spiritual ability and both consciences together, like every prophet of God has, for him, the things he will have to carry out in that divine cycle, they will be incomprehensible to him. So that everything works for the benefit of those who are to receive the benefit. We find that what is done in that divine cycle, in that eternal cycle, by the messenger of that eternal cycle, everything to come depends on that. The upcoming time depends on that. Notice the importance of that work, of that message in the eternal cycle. Jesus resurrected as the scripture said. And that is how it will also be at this end time. Revelation 11, resurrected according to the scripture. And he won't come alone. He will come with all those who are there waiting for his coming. But notice that first, the church brides receive him. And the Hebrew people also. Because they will say, this is the one we are waiting for. But Brother Branham says, but he's not coming for them. He comes for his bride. Paragraph 176 of the Book of Quotations. Page 22, paragraph 176. And there is them two witnesses. And when they torment the church or the world by their preaching and receiving back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe, when they see Jesus coming for the bride, they'll say, lo, this is our God who we waited on. That's him. But he's not coming for them. He come for his bride. And his bride, when Joseph went into Egypt, he did not take his brethren with him, but he got his bride there. Absolutely. But when he made himself known to his brethren, there was nobody present. That's exactly right. And when he makes himself known to these Jews, there'll be nobody there but the Jews. There is them who killed Joseph standing there. And he said, well, I'm Joseph, your brother. And he wept. And they said, now we know we're in for it. Because we killed him. The same thing. Those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now. Of the persecution, running them back into their homeland. Issuing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride and they see him, they'll say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. And he writes, the Jews see Christ coming for the bride. And he also writes, Moses and Elijah and their preaching torment. Now notice that all of this, Brother Branham says on page 424, that happened just before the Great Tribulation begins. Jesus resurrected as the scripture said. Let us stand. Now, today we have seen something very important, which only Jesus knew back then, why he had to carry that out. Because now the whole world knows. But at that moment, it was so inconceivable to the normal mind, like Peter's. When he said that to Peter, what did Peter say to him? May such a thing not befall you. In other words, from what he said to Jesus, how could that happen to you, see? He could not see the magnitude and the impact that would be made by that work that Jesus would carry out in that eternal cycle. That involved there, it wrapped there the resurrection of those of the Old Testament. And it involved a number of events. So if that moment had not been carried out, none of that would have happened. In other words, the human mind could not, at that moment, know that great thing that Jesus was going to carry out there. Now remember that at that point, the apostles had not been born again yet. They did not have the theophany to speak to them, to teach them. As it says in the message, who is this Melchizedek? Our theophanies. It says that we are taught. Now, at this end time, it is parallel. Jesus resurrected, as the scripture said, thus we immediately leave with us our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.